Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Hallelujah! Amen. What a blessing. You want to say, Father, speak to me. I want to hear your voice, not the voice of man. Let your word be made so clear to me. Let your word come in power. Let your word come with all that you are and all that you ought to do in my life. I want to hear you. I want to hear you. I want to hear you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Take over this space and make it glorious. Ladabo shabranda gadabadash. Rezemene manakato zabrasada. Learabo shimada. Learabo shanabali balibere. Rabanoe. Just slip your hands to the Father this morning. You're all. Hey, all together. Oh, all together. Here I am.
Here I am to worship.
Come on. Together, you're all together. Hey,
all together, worthy.
Oh, all together, wonderful to me. Amen. The knowing how much it goes. To see my sin upon, I never know my name. My Lord,
yeah. To see my sin upon the
Our Father and our God, we are grateful this morning for such a sacred space that you have given us. We know that your presence is all over this place. Spirit of God, move in your soul liberty and come and teach us your word. My desire, my prayer is that we will be filled with you. We will be filled with more of you. Give give us an overflow of your word. Holy Spirit, as you have always been helping me, help me to articulate your word. Help me to be able to dissect your word that will be made simple for your people to understand. Take me not out, but let your word have its course also in my life. And when all is said and done, I will not be a castaway. Help me, Holy Spirit, and help everyone that hears this word. Anoint our ears to hear, our heart to receive, our minds to understand, and make this glorious moment for us. We thank you that you are here. In Jesus, the blessed name. And let the blessed people shout a big amen.
Amen.
Please take your place in the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Church growth and me. We've studied a lot, especially on the Wednesdays, word experience. But it's been more or less like having to get the understanding of who you are and who we are as a church. Psalm number 50, verse number 2 says that out of Zion, perfection of beauty, God has shined. Among the important revelations and thoughts that the Holy Spirit is trying to lead and direct us is to understand that God takes the glory over our lives. When we are connected with Him and when we are obedient to Him and when we are serving Him wholeheartedly and when His glory begins to rub on us, He takes the glory. He said that let them shout for joy and be glad, them that revere His righteous cause. Those that revere His righteous cause, let them shout for joy and be glad. Now He said, let them say continually, and let the Lord be magnified, for He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. Wow. God takes pleasure. In other words, God gets so excited when He sees His people doing well. In other words, His glory shines. He takes glory in the life of His people. God doesn't take glory when you are not doing well, because He has made every grace available through Jesus Christ. He has made every strength available through the Holy Spirit for you to do well. And as we do well, He takes the glory. One way by which we do well for God to take the glory is when we begin to grow in Him. David understood this. He said that one thing have I desired. Psalm 27 verse 4. And one thing have I sought after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire about His beauty. To inquire about His beauty. He once said in Psalm number 34, I want to paraphrase it, verse number 3 and 4, and they looked unto Him and their faces were radiant and they were never ashamed. They looked unto Him, go to verse 4, and they became radiant. In other words, as they looked on Him, God took the glory of their lives and He began to shine upon them. The Bible makes it clear that we all, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 verse 18, we all with an open face beholding him as in a glass are being changed from glory to glory. God wants to take the glory of your life. When you begin to grow, when you begin to increase, when you begin to do well, with that also in mind, we must know that every king is glorified in the multitude of his people. The king takes glory in the multitude of his people. So out of Zion means that there will be multitudes of people. Zion will be full of people. The Bible says that one nation will come. People will come from other nations and they will hold the skirt of the one who is a Jew. Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 23. He said that, people will come. 10 people will virtually hold the sleeves or the skirt of the one who is called what? A Jew. And said that, let us go. He said, we will go with you also because we have seen that God is with you. What a blessing. It is my desire that God takes the glory in our increase, in our growth, in our maturity. He shines on us. It is important for us to put it in perspective that whereas churches are looking for nice messages, novel methods and new machines and notable meetings, God has always been looking for a man that he would make himself so strong. Whereas churches are looking for more money, God is looking for a matured man to carry on his work. Whereas we are thinking of ourselves and how we can better our lives, God is always searching for a man. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse number 9, he said that I sought for a man whose heart is perfect towards me, in whom I will show forth my strength. I sought for a man. God is looking for a man to show himself so strong to. God is looking for a man. And I pray that the person that God is looking for will be you. God is looking for a man after his own heart, number one. God is looking for a man who knows that he has been sent by God here on earth. You are not on your own, but you have been sent. God is looking for a man like Paul, who said that I am a chosen vessel unto God. God is looking for a man to show himself strong on his behalf. A man who will become the savior of men in place of God. A man who is strong in faith. A man who is not staggering at the promises of God. And I pray that you will become that person God is waiting for. It is important for us to note that church growth is not cheap and easy. Church growth is not cheap and easy. There is no cheap and easy way to grow a church, unless God divinely selects you, gives you the strength and the ability to do it. He says that the one who builds actually builds in vain, except he builds the house. Those who watch, they watch in vain, except God watch over the tower. What a blessing. Everyone that has to be used by God for Church Grove must be someone who has yielded up into God's hands, that he will be the clay and God will be the potter, and he will shape you, purge you, sanctify you, anoint you for his purpose and for his work. Praise God. So Church Grove is not for lazy people. People who are lazy cannot ensure Church Grove. It's not for selfish people. People with selfish intent who wants to please themselves rather than to see the move of God in their generation. It is not for careless people. People who really don't care about what happens. If the church grows or not, if there are no people, if there are no attendance, they are indifferent, they don't feel anything. Church growth is not for worldly men. But this morning I want to emphasize the point that church growth is hard work. Tell somebody, it's hard work. It is important for us to understand that if we want to have our church grow, then it is supposed to be hard work. Hard work. So if we don't have that mindset that it will take hard work for our church to grow, we'll just be lazing around, expecting something to happen that we have not worked out for. What a blessing. This morning, I want to move straight to what we started on Wednesday. The must of a man for church growth. We have already established many important truths. That for everyone that comes to Christ, for every believer, you are supposed to be a vessel, someone sent by God, a man after God's own heart, for church growth. So you are not just a member of the church, but you are also a candidate, a vessel that God must use to bring what? Church growth. Is it clear? So what are the must? What are the things that a man for church growth must have? I want God to use me to bring church growth. What are the things which are must for me? Number one, Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18 and Acts chapter 26 verse 19. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people. Vision is so important for every church to grow. I said this on Wednesday and I want to repeat it. That eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are real. When I say real, I'm talking about R-A-R-E. Sometimes the difference in pronunciation can confuse you. R-A-R-E. Eyes that look are common. We have many eyes that are looking, but only few eyes that can see. those who have most powerful and permanent influence in their generation have been those who see. Those who see. Men who have gone far in life and have impacted their world are men with visions. Praise God. Before you can be a man that God will use for church growth, you must have vision. You must be a man of vision. A man of vision. A man of vision. A man to see far and to see what God wants you to do. Vision is to have a mental idea or picture of what God has destined and earmarked for you. It is when you are walking in that way God has destined for you, that is when you are fulfilling your vision. Each and everyone, some way, somehow, has a place in the church. Whether you are in a department or you are heading a department or you are doing something some way, somehow, there's something that God has placed you in. And that place, that material moment that you are there, there must be growth. And what will engender that growth is the vision you catch to make that thing grow. What a blessing. Go with me to Acts chapter 26 verse 19. It was said of the Apostle Paul in his testimony. He said that, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." I was not disobedient. In other words, we must walk in that heavenly vision. What is it that God is showing you about his church? What is it that God is teaching you to do? What are the things that he wants you to do in order to bring growth? I was not disobedient. I believe that there are many who are running away from our responsibilities, even the things God is showing us to do, all because we lack vision. What a blessing. God will only commit the growth of his kingdom to the man of vision, a man who constantly works towards the realization of that vision. And I pray that you will be one of them. Only vision makes a visionary. Only vision makes a visionary. Only vision makes a visionary. A task without a vision is drudgery. It's drudgery. In other words, it does not move. It becomes slow. When you are given a task and you don't have vision as to the roadmap of how that task will be performed, things become slow. A vision with a task makes you a missionary. So number one of the masters of a man is that he must have enduring vision. Say enduring what? Vision. Amen. Number two, I want to be fast. He must be a man of serious praying. A man of serious praying. Prayer is key if we want God to use us to bring church growth. Luke chapter 6 verse 12. Mark chapter 1 verse 35 and Acts chapter 6 verse 5. These are important scriptures. The Bible says that, "And it came to pass that in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Talking about Jesus Christ. He went onto the mountain to pray. And he prayed what? Am I talking to you? Are we together? He prayed all night to God. And look at the ramification. Look at the effect of the prayer. Kindly push it. The Bible says that, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he had what? Named. Praise God. Prayer would always give you an opportunity to hear from God and to know what God is doing in your life at any what given point in time. Let's look at another reference, and I love that one. Mark chapter 1 verse 35 is so amazing. A quick one. The Bible says that in the same manner as we read earlier, and in the morning rising up a great while before day, he went out and depart into a solitary place. And there he what? He prayed. Jesus rose up early and went to pray. And what was it? Push it and let me know what's happening. Simon and that were with him followed after him. People will not follow you until you begin to pray. Many of us have wished that people you have invited would have made it to church, but yet it's like you are pouring water on a rock. No effect, nothing seems to be happening. But prayer will cause men to follow you. I said prayer will cause men to follow you. God cannot prosper a lazy man physically as much as prosper a lazy man in prayer. I want to come clear for those writing. God cannot prosper a lazy man physically as much as prosper a lazy man in prayer. In other words, a lazy man physically is equal to the believer who is not in prayer. Just as a lazy man cannot be blessed, in the same way, a believer without prayer can also not be blessed. Praise God. God's power, presence manifests to a man who prays. Secret and early, late prayers must be for the man who wants to see church grow. Hallelujah. Number three, the third must of a man that God must use is that he must be a man of transparent holiness. A man of transparent holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. You can add Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse number 10, Paul in his testimony was telling the church that ye are all witness, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. How holily, how justly, and how unblameably. The man that God uses must be a man that is committed to holiness. God can not and is not committed to an unholy, dubious, crooked, and deceitful person. Being used by God demands that we are holy both in heart and also in heart, in life. Let's hear what Paul wrote to his son Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. He says that, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in what? In purity. Praise God. So we are admonished that for God to use us for church growth, we must be people who are committed to holiness, both in heart and in life. Praise God. Our life should be transparent, it should be open, and it should be challenging to others. What a blessing. And there should be no grounds for reproach. People would look at your life and follow you. Your life must be an attraction. There must be beauty inside you that will cause men to follow after. Everybody wants something beautiful. Not just an outward beauty, but inner spirit of beauty that is holy unto the Lord. What a blessing. Therefore, Jesus in his teaching in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, said that ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherein shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Wow. Verse number 14 says that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Therefore, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So the last verse says that everybody go, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good work. What are the things that men are looking for? They are not looking for your cars. They are not looking for the kind of mobile phones you're using. They are not looking for the houses you're building. They are looking at your life. Your life must be a light to them that will attract them to the presence of God. If you want to be a man that God uses, let your life count. I said, let your life what? That men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I pray that this will be our portion in Jesus' name. Number four, the man that God used must be a man of growing anointing. A man of growing anointing. Isaiah 10, 27, Psalm 89, verse 20 to 28. You can write 2 Corinthians 12, 1 to 22, Matthew 3, 13 to 7, and the rest will continue. A man with growing anointing. Isaiah says that, and it shall come to pass in that day, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of what? The anointing. Praise God. The anointing is what breaks every burden and destroy yokes. Whatever it takes, you will need the power of God in order to engender growth. You need the anointing in order to be able to push through the agenda of growth, because even Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of hell cannot what? Prevail against it. Which means that the gates of hell are always there to fight the church. But the good news is that they will not prevail. I want to believe that this scripture may not apply to every church. Because a church that is not praying, a church that is not in an anointing, a church that is people are not anointed for church growth, will have the gates of hell prevailing against them. Are you with me? they will have the gates of hell preparing against them. Therefore, we need to be anointed. In Psalm number 89, verse number 20 through to 28, a quick one. The Bible says, Psalm number 89. Wow. We don't have Psalm number 89 in the Bible. Start from verse 20. He said that I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I what? Anointed. Now look at verse number 21. He said that with whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. What does it mean? It means that it takes the hand of God to bring success into a man's life. It takes the hand of God. It takes the hand of God. It takes the hand of God. He said that with whom my hand shall establish, my arm also shall strengthen him. Strength by the arm of the Lord. Strength by the arm of the Lord. A man that God would use has to be anointed. His hand will be upon him. Verse number 22, he says, the enemy shall not exert upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. It means that that man will defeat his enemies. A man that is anointed will not be overcome by his enemies, but he will rather defeat his enemies. The enemy shall not exert upon him. The son of wickedness nor afflicted him. It's good to be anointed. Come on, tell somebody it's good to be anointed. Verse 23. And I will beat down his foe before his face and plague them that hate him. In other words, overcoming power over a host of darkness, overcoming the power of spiritual wickedness. The Bible says that God, by the anointing, will cause you to beat your enemy. You'll beat them down before their face and plague them that hate you. Verse number 24, amazing. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. In other words, God's mercy and faithfulness will help you. His mercy and faithfulness will see you through when you are anointed. Not only so, he will bring promotion and exhortation your way. I see this happening to you. Verse number 25. He said, I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. In other words, multitudes being saved will come through you. God will use you to save multitudes. By the anointing, many people will be saved because of you. Many people will be drawn to the kingdom of God because of you. Verse number 27. Verse 27, I love this. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Wow. What does this simply mean? It means that God will favor and accept you. You will have favor and acceptance with God. He said that I will make him my firstborn. Firstborns are most favorable. Oh my God. And higher than the kings of the earth. The one anointed will be favored. The one anointed will be accepted by God. A man that God wants to use to bring church growth, he will anoint you and you will be acceptable. You'll be acceptable. wherever you go. Verse 28. Amazing. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. Woo! It other means that you'll be kept by God till the end. Oh my God, have you forgotten that he is with us till the end of the age? When he said that, he was talking to those who were on the go. That go and preach the gospel, go and heal the sick, for I am with you to the end of the age. And those that are anointed for church growth, the Bible says that God's mercy will keep them forever, and his covenant shall stand fast with them. By the anointing, may you be kept till the end. Number five must of the man that God is that he must be a man of strong persuasion. A man of strong persuasion. Acts chapter 20, verse 21 to 24. Psalm number 92, verse 12 to 14. A man of strong persuasion. The man that God will use for church growth must be a man that strongly believes in church growth. He believes that God wants his church to grow. He must be strongly persuaded by the possibility of growth. Growth is possible. Are there people here? How many of you believe that growth is possible? That this church can grow into 10,000? Oh, your amen is with you. See, you must be a man of persuasion, strong persuasion. This is possible. This is possible. We can also become 10,000 in congregation. When we sit in the congregation, our numbers will exceed 10,000. How many of you are sure God can do this through us? We must be men of strong word. I say that testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Push it faster. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. This is Paul speaking. And the Bible says that save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. In spite of all the prophecies that were told him, he was never convinced to stay away or to stay back. Verse 24, but none of these things moved me. Knowing that when you are going to that city, they are going to arrest you and put you in bondage and put you in prison. When you go there, there's a likelihood that you are going to die. There's a likelihood that a lot of things are going to be said about you. But the Bible says that nothing of these things moved me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. What moves you? What drives you? What is your driving force in doing anything for God? Are you persuaded? Are you convinced beyond every reasonable doubt that this is possible and this is what I must run for? Are you easily threatened and easily discouraged by the things that are around you? Or you are persuaded in your spirit, irrespective of what people say, irrespective of the challenges and the difficulties? I have come to not to love people who always give excuses. I mean, one of the don'ts of growth is that don't surrender your growth to what? Excuses. They will give you 1,001 excuses why they cannot do something well and why they cannot do something right. They will tell you every day they have an excuse of why they didn't come to church on time. Oh, pastor, you know traffic. We know traffic. So traffic, what have you done about it? If you know it will take you an hour to get here, and the service starts at 7, why don't you wake up an hour earlier so that you can beat the time? I pray for you that we will be strongly persuaded, that we will not live our life to chance. You see, growth is purposeful. You must purpose to grow. You don't leave growth to chance. You don't. Because the moment growth is left to chance, it means that anything is possible. It's either you start decaying or things don't go the way you expect them to go. And I pray that God gives us the grace. Your amen is weak for me. David said in Psalm number 92, verse 12 to 14, amazing word, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. And they say that those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still, irrespective of their age, irrespective of their weaknesses, they shall still bring forth fruit. Irrespective of those who are talking ill of them, they will still. This is a person who is strongly persuaded. Paul said that I'm persuaded that neither death, nor peril, nor hardship, nor distress, nor anything shall separate me from the love of Christ. What becomes your driving force? What are you persuaded for or on? I pray that we will be men of strong persuasion. Number 6, God is looking for a man who is a man of burning passion. A man of burning passion. If we are going to have church growth, God wants every one of us to have a burning passion. A burning passion. Passion is stronger than desire. Passion is stronger than desire. It is a higher level of desire. John chapter 4, verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. And Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Can add Romans 1:14, John 4:34, 1 Corinthians 9:16, Luke 9:51. We must have a consummate passion for the lost. And the glory of God is highly needed in the man that will be a great usage in church growth. The passion for souls must continuously burn in the heart. The passion for souls. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said unto them, that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My meat. In other words, what I eat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me. And to finish the work. To finish the work. And to finish the work. Until the work is done, I'm not taking rest. Until the work is done, I must keep doing it. I must keep doing it right. I must keep pushing. Must make it work. And what is the will here and what is the work here? That souls will be saved. Can you imagine Jesus at that moment when the disciples even thought that he was hungry and therefore they were going to find something for him to eat? By the time they came, Jesus was still speaking to this woman because that woman needed to be saved. Praise God. Thank you. What is your passion? You cannot be a man for Church Grove if you are not passionate about souls. If you are not passionate about growth. And I pray that God give us that passion. In his testimony, Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 16, Paul alluded to this fact that for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe unto me if I preach not what? The gospel. So what is his driving force? What is the passion here? Is to preach the gospel. Is to make sure that people are saved. Luke 9:51. He says, and it came to pass that when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly. The things that we have been entrusted to, the responsibility that God has given us, even in his church, we must set our face steadfastly. How well are you committed to that task that has been given to you? The little opportunity that you have to serve, how are you attending to? Are you doing it anyhow or anyway or to your convenience? Or you are steadfastly setting your face to finish it? Jesus said that my meat is to do his will and to finish the work. I pray that this grace will be upon us. What a blessing. So here, it is so important for us to have passion. A man of burning passion. Burning passion. In fact, it is one of the things God actually look out for if he wants to use anyone. He goes in for somebody who is passionate about him. David, a man after God's own heart, used by God tremendously, was a man who had passion. He said, as the deer pants for the water brooks. The word pants is the word for passion. I mean, he runs after it. The more the deer smells water, the more he runs. The more we feel the presence of God, the more we need him, the more we run after him. How passionate are you for the things of God? God will not use you for church growth if you are not passionate. Lastly, we must be men or a man of sound principles. What are the principles that you are setting for your life? Godly principles and open dealings that leaves no room for questioning should characterize our lives when we want to be men of what? Church growth. Hallelujah. We must be open and we must be flawless. Nothing in him must hinder his supernatural flow in our lives. What a blessing. 1 Samuel chapter number 12, verse 3 to 5. Romans chapter 12, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Romans chapter 14, verse 16 to 21. What a blessing. Let's read one or two. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? And I will do what? I will restore. We must be men of what? Sound principle. In other words, live by certain principles. Set principles for yourself. What do you stand for? What are the things that people can say that as for this is a no-go area for him or for her? He doesn't tolerate anything of that nature. Set principles for yourself. That will guard you, and that will make you somebody that God can use. You can read on and on and on. Let's quickly read Romans 12 verse 7. Romans chapter 12 verse 7. He said, our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on what? Teaching. And on it goes like that. We must be in place where God wants us to be. Setting principles for ourselves. Today, God is still using various kinds of people to build his church. And I pray that may you be the one kind of person that God wants to use. Throughout history, we have people who were not to write home about, people who were not necessarily good men or good people, but when they met Jesus, their lives were turned and God used them. We have example in a man called John Newton. He's the man who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. This man, I understand, was a drunkard. He was a drunkard. But then when he got saved, God used him tremendously. If you have really looked at the words of the song Amazing Grace, that should tell you how amazing God saved his life. And God has used him to save the lives of many. Many of you have heard of someone called John Bunyan. John Bunyan is the one who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And the Bible says that, according to story, he has been a swearing thinker that nobody wanted to be with. But when God called him, God used him tremendously. Church history can boast of somebody called D.L. Moody, who shook England and America at the same time for God. But he was just a shoe salesman, a commoner, somebody who sells shoes. But when God called him, God empowered him and used him to bring growth into his kingdom. There is this man also called Gypsy Smith. He was a great soul winner, but was one of the five of the motherless children raised by his father, Charles Finney. And Charles Finney was just an ordinary lawyer, and God used this great man, Gypsy Smith. We also have church history will remind us about Smith Wigglesworth. He was also just a plumber, but God used him tremendously. Not long ago, gone into be with the Lord, is our brother Yonggi Cho, who was just also a Buddhist. Yonggi Cho was a Buddhist, but when he was called, God used him to bring massive growth. By the time he died, he was the pastor of a single seated congregation of over 100,000 at a go. It was his church that they tell people not to come to church in a particular Sunday, so that those who could not come the previous Sunday will be allowed to come. And he was running seven services, each one sitting 100,000 young Icho. And he was a Buddhist. Is somebody here with me? I believe that irrespective of who we are, where we are coming from, God can still use us. If we only surrender absolutely to God and conform to his will and standards, he will use us to the uttermost. I said God will use us to the uttermost. Despite our shortcomings, despite our weaknesses, God will still use us. This week is our Church Growth Conference. And I want everybody to know that you are the man that God wants to use. I said you are the man that God wants to use. You are the woman that God wants to use to bring growth to his church. Would you disappoint him? Would you fail him? Can he count on you? Can he count on you?
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.